Okay, let's open with a word of prayer.
Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to study it and learn from it. And again, Lord, as I teach, I pray that you'll speak through me. The Holy Spirit will be speak through me, Lord, and be our teacher today. And just pray that we'll rightly discern the word of truth. And Lord, as we wrap up these things on creation, and Lord, we've studied a lot. And Lord, you displayed your power and your Godhead. You say that. And it's revealed in the creation that we can open our eyes and look at and see your nature. And just the intelligent design that you have to put into this thing and how everything fits together and operates in harmony, supplementing each other. And Lord, just it's amazing. And Lord, just pray that we can reach the ones that don't believe in that, believe in evolution. And Lord, just pray that we can get that, that we can be useful to you, Lord, in correcting some things that have been taught wrong out there. So just open our hearts for your message this morning, Lord, I pray. Amen. Okay, welcome, welcome. We are drawing this to a conclusion rapidly. We should finish up the Ice Age this morning and possibly how big is God? So we'll see how it goes. I thought we'd finish this last week, but we didn't. But we got a little bit to wrap up this thing on the Ice Age. So basically, we have talked about, the conditions needed for an Ice Age. And I'll just a quick repeat here. You got to have a tremendous amount of evaporation for the moisture to go in to create all this, provide the moisture, the water to make all this ice. And you got to have a tremendous amount of cold weather. And you've got to have both conditions going on at the same time for a very extended period of time to have time for all this ice to form. And again, there's different variations as to how much the ice covered the earth. Both evolutionists and creationists believe in an ice age, and the evidence is all around us. And there's different degrees as to how much ice there was. Nobody was there. It's all speculation. But some parts say, parts of Kansas, Missouri was covered with ice and further north. And some indications even go to the equator. Was part of the Ice Age. It was definitely here. There's evidence of it. You could people that know what they're talking about can study it and observe it and see that it really did happen. And so, the evolutionists will not buy the theory of Noah's flood and all this stuff. They discount it, and they don't believe that. Anyway, I've already been through all that, so we're going to move forward here. So, folks, here was a very prominent thing, in this theory. Again, what I'm talking about has been a theory. Nobody was there, but the evolutionists, this thing about the flood and all this other stuff that we've been talking about. But here's a major point that I never got to make last week, okay? Folks, ice age sediments are found on top of flood sediments, which means that the Ice Age followed the flood. Folks, that is key. That is very important, okay? And so it happened, the Ice Age happened after the flood. Creationists believe, that the conditions that the flood set up made the conditions to have the Ice Age. And so, but then again, to top it off, Ice Age sediments are found on top of flood sediments, which means that the Ice Age followed the flood. And that's what we've been teaching. And I mean, everything just seems to point back to the Bible. The Bible is true. And if you wait long enough, there's a lot of times there's been a lot of unanswered questions. And it's amazing through the time, as time goes on, and like the Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, okay? When the fullness of time came and God's opinion, he opens up new insights, you know, new technologies to where we can see things. And when we see more than we could see before, then it points back to the Bible again. And it refutes evolution theory. So it's amazing. But that's a key point. It's found on top of flood sediments. Of course, evolutionists reject the Genesis account of the global flood. They will not buy into it. They refuse to buy into it. They will not listen to it. They can look at the same evidence we look at. I mean, and yet they will not buy the fact that there is a God, that he exists, and they just refuse to accept that or anything to do with the Bible. And so they've got to come up with their own theories. But anyway, enough said on that. Okay, so now here is a burning question. Will there ever be a future ice age? We're going to have another one. Depends on who you talk to, okay? If you talk to the evolutionists, they say yes. Yes. Ice ages have been in the past. Everything's going to continue on as it was in the past. And they say that a new ice age begins about 10,000 years after the previous one ended. Okay? And so they say the last one ended about 10,000 years ago. So guess what? Okay? With this philosophy, we might be getting about ready to enter into another ice age, folks. And so do not get rid of your fur-lined parkas. Okay, hang on to them. You may need them. Okay, and now as soon as that comes up, we all ask the question: well, how does this fit into this global warming that's going on? You know, it's just too many things just counterproductive here. But they say, we're going to be there'll be ice ages in the future. We're getting ready for another one. So just hang on, gird up your loins and be ready for an ice age, according to them, okay? Now, ask the question, will there never be another ice age? The creationist view is no. There will not be another ice age. Can anybody give a reason as to why the creationist would say that no, there will not be another ice age? Pop quiz. There won't be another flood, okay? Well, how do you know there's not going to be another flood, Delbert?
God says so in his word, he will not destroy what destroyed
him. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Creationists say no. The only way conditions could be right for another ice age is to have another global flood. Can anyone think of a biblical reason? We already answered that, okay, as to why we say that there'd be another ones. Folks, it's God's rainbow promise. God promises he will never send another flood, and creationists say no flood, no ice age. Does that make sense? I hope it does, okay? So, another burning question. How did man and animals get from Noah's Ark into Canada and the Americas? And again, like I've, going back to this trip to Haviland, folks, I keep saying this, I keep not doing it, but I am thinking about planning a trip to go there for this Sunday school class or anybody in church who wants to go. I don't know how big of a group he can take. It's not a big outfit. But he takes groups and stuff like that. But I'm thinking about, but anyway, he is a scientist. He's a Christian. But he studies a lot of this stuff. And another thing that he's really into, and again, when the fullness of time has come, okay, we now have technology to where they can scan on top of the Earth's surface and actually see down below the Earth's surface and see what's down there, you know. And archaeologists use this now for excavations and stuff like this. They're forever finding new stuff around in Israel, and things like that. They're excavated and digging up stuff that's been buried for years, you know. They see it beforehand, and then they can go down, and sure enough, there it is. Well, this guy at Haviland, when I went to that museum that time, he said, and he follows this stuff. This is his sugar stick, okay? And but anyway, there's evidence now that there was some big cities here in Kansas, you know, pretty good sized cities. And in the past, and he's saying that there is strong evidence that there was a lot of people here on planet in the United States, well, the Americas and stuff, South America, Central America. But there was a lot of habitation there before Columbus got here and before, you know, the pilgrims and all this other stuff. That there was people, a lot of people here before, and there's evidence of it, and they're uncovering it now, okay? And so the burning question is, okay, so how did man and animals get from Noah's Ark into Canada and the Americas? All right? And there's two theories where this could have happened. And again, there's evidence here that looks like we might have been deceived in our high school teaching and grade school teaching that all this stuff started with Columbus and with the pilgrims. And of course, there was Indians here. But in other words, somebody had to cross from Noah's Ark. I mean, there's only eight people, and somehow this got populated. There's two theories. Okay, again, theories. One of them, it says, with all of the evaporation from the seas, it could have dried up parts of the ocean, and people could have migrated on dry land over the Bering Strait from Russia to Alaska and down. They could have walked on dry ground because so much of the ocean's water had been caught up and is now sheets of ice over most of the globe, which would dry the oceans up and stuff, where they could walk on dry land. That's one theory, okay? Another theory, or they could have migrated on top of the ice formations from the Ice Age. Just walk across the ice and come here. Because, folks, there is evidence that there was quite a few people here, you know, after the flood. So those are two theories. In fact, I just finished. Yep. Okay, that was the end of my notes on the Ice Age. And we're getting ready to shift gears into a whole new ball game. But before we shift gears, does anybody have any questions or comments or anything they want to make about anything we've talked about the Ice Age? Any questions? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you believe that, or the creationists believe that there was one land mass? Because if so, they could have just walked across the land mass.
Yeah, the creationists do believe at one time, in fact, when God made the, in Genesis 1, whatever, it talks about that God gathered all the seas into one place. You know, and the land into one place. And yeah, creationists believe that there was like a single land mass before the flood. And then when the flood hit, it broke a lot of this apart. And I know where you're headed with her. You know, it looks like a lot of the continents will fit together. There's one of them is reversed. I think it's Australia or something like that. It's backwards. I'm not up on this topic. There's others in this room that are way more enlightened on that. Does any of you experts have anything to say about what he just said? Okay.
Well, he mentioned they could have, if there's one landmass, like the people would be all over, but that came after the flood. So it had to be repopulated after the flood, which is after the land masses broke up, if they were in one place. I believe there are several places in the Bible that indicate that all the land was in one place. One of them, God talks about the four corners of the earth. And it's still, as I understand it, if I remember right, he still talks about that, even though the land masses are broke up. But if the land mass was a square or a diamond, generally at the first, there would be four corners, and not just random land masses. So I think that indicates that the land mass was one all in one group.
Okay, let me just find this verse here in the Bible. I should have went to the Bible rather than trying to quote from memory. It doesn't work. Oh, it's on about day three or something of creation, somewhere along in there. Okay, verse 9, Genesis 1:9. Go ahead and turn there. Genesis 1:9. It says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place." Okay? "And let the dry land appear, and it was so." So if the waters are in one place, then that also means the land mass must be in one place. I think. So, yeah, they do believe that that it was, there was kind of one land mass at one time, and then when the flood came, a lot of this broke up and stuff and moved apart. Anybody have anything to add to that? I've said about all I know that I can say. Yes, sir.
I'm just remembering from Genesis chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel, God scattered the people afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So there we have, at least initially, the migration of folks.
Okay.
What would be the Middle East, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God confuses them and they're scattered out.
Good point. Anybody else? Okay. Oh, let me get organized here. The next thing we're going to talk about is the topic, how big is God? And I also wanted to do one on how little is God, but I never got that done. That will probably never happen. So anyway, this old boy is just running out of steam too much. So
maybe your papers would be blank if you talk about how little is God.
That'd be true. You know, I know we used to, back in high school, you know, we used to study, you know, that, you know, we had the atoms are made up, electrons, neutrons, and protons. And now they found out that that's all that's subdivided down even smaller than that. And we used to study about there was two kinds of life. Back in high school, it was either plant or animal, you know, was the two forms of life. And now they found out, now we've got, there's viruses and there's bacteria and all this other type of thing. That is a form of life, you know, and it can grow and multiply and change and mutate, and, you know, and I mean, it's just, it's an ever-changing thing. And we have not even come close to fathoming the depths of the bigness and greatness of God. Okay, we're gonna take a look at, Anybody else before we move on? I don't want to leave anybody out. Okay. We're going to take a look now about how big is God. We're going to kind of take a look now at the universe, at astronomy. And I've got several DVDs and stuff and different readings and things that came from all these creationists that I believe and trust in. And And again, I'm a copycat. I just say what they say. And I haven't been educated in any of these areas that I've talked about all along. So, okay, how big is God? So let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to take a look at when God created or put the stars and stuff in place out there in the universe. Excuse me. And didn't have get you muted on there. Okay, let's go ahead and read Genesis 1, 14 through 19. And who'd read that for us? John?
Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens and separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. So God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and also the stars. And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, so now we're going to talk about, and he just, at the end of verse 16, he just kind of, it always looked to be like an afterthought. He just throws this in, and he made the stars also. You know, like, he almost forgot, but hey, I popped that in there right quick. And I tell you what, that little sentence there, I mean, if you can imagine what all that includes, we're going to take a look at that. Okay, let's go ahead and turn to, let's just both go there. Let's go to Psalm 33:6. Psalms 33:6. Most everybody there? Okay, who'd read Psalm 33:6 for us? Delbert?
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth.
By the breath of his mouth. Folks, what we're getting ready to take a look at is what that means is just kind of like, that's it. You know, it means he spoke the words, but just by the breath of his mouth. And I mean, and he has created everything we're going to be taking a look at here this morning. You know, let's, word Psalms, turn back to Psalm 19:1. Psalms 19:1. And who'd read that? Yes, sir.
The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands.
Okay. Declares the glory of God. All you have to do is look up and see the glory of God. He has revealed himself, his eternal power and Godhead, as it says in Romans 1:19, I believe it is. Anyway, he's revealed it through creation. And the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We can see what God did and how great he is by opening our eyes, looking around. Okay. I'm actually working off of my old notes. Okay. So this is about 15 years old, my notes. I didn't have the steam and the energy to go through and research it all over through again, so I'm kind of, again, copying what I had before. So some of this stuff might be a little bit outdated. It's still good stuff, but there's probably stuff that God has revealed a lot more. Anyway, talking about the Hubble telescope. Now, I know they put up another brand spanking new telescope since the Hubble, and it has just totally opened up all kinds of stuff we never saw before. When the fullness of time is God, when was come, God sent us this new telescope. so we can look deeper and better than we've ever been able to see before. But anyway, with the Hubble telescope was up there 360 miles above the Earth, floating around, and you can go to, if you want to see some of the pictures of the stars and the stuff that these telescopes put out, you can go to hubblesite.org, hubblesite.org, and it's put out by NASA. And I mean, and there's all kinds of pictures and stuff of all the different stars and constellations. And folks, it's beautiful. And you can see God's handiwork. It's amazing, amazing, okay? Anyway, this morning we're going to take a look at four stars. We're just going to look at four stars. There is billions and trillions of stars. We're going to look at four, okay? And the first star we're going to take a look at is our sun. Our sun is a star, okay? A star is made up of gases. It's not made up of dirt, okay? A star is made up of gases that are burning, you know, and it's just a cluster of gas and it's emitting heat. Okay, and so we're going to take a look at the sun. That's the star that we're the most familiar with. The sun is a star, okay? It's the only star in our solar system. There is millions of solar systems out there, but we're talking about our solar system right now. The temperature on the surface of the sun is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, is the temperature on the surface of it. The sun is 93 million miles away, and that is 8 minutes at the speed of light. So if you're traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, in 8 minutes you'll arrive to the sun. Now, we're going to take a look at the size of some of these things, okay? Less in our minds, I got to scale things down so we can kind of get an understanding of what I'm talking about. Let's assume that I'm holding a golf ball up here. Got a golf ball. I used to have a golf ball that I always used when I was talking about these types of things, but I think somehow it wound up in some grandkid's pocket. So I don't have a golf ball. So imagine I got a golf ball here. Okay. If the Earth is the size of a golf ball, first of all, I want you to find yourself on planet Earth. You know, find yourself on there. Okay, and we're going to see how small mankind really is. And we know we're small, but anyway, kind of fun to play with here. Okay, if the Earth is the size of a golf ball, then in comparison for that, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. All right, see, Earth's the size of a golf ball, and then the sun, by similar comparison, would be 1.5 times the height of a foot basketball goal, 15 feet. In fact, I don't know, probably up to about the, you know, so you got a ball, something up there toward the ceiling would be 15 feet, all right? Sun is 15 feet in diameter. Folks, you could put 960,000 Earths inside of the sun. Put that many golf balls inside this great big, inside the sun, 960,000. That, a comparison that we can make a little sense to, that would fill a large school bus full of golf balls. You know, get the idea, the sense of the volumes between Earth and the sun, all right? The next star we're gonna take a look is one that's normally called Betelgeuse. Some people call it Betelgeuse, but I think the most common is Betelgeuse. But Betelgeuse is another star out there. It's 427 light years away. So if you're traveling the speed of light, 427 years, you'll get there. And again, we're talking now about how big is God. That's the purpose of this whole thing. The speed of light is 186,000 miles a second, okay, speed of light. And now I'm trying to break that down. Something would kind of make sense to us here. The the distance around the Earth at the equator is about 25,000 miles. Okay? So four trips around the Earth is 100,000 miles. We're trying to get up to the speed of light. That's 186,000 miles. So eight trips around the globe would be 200,000 miles. That's a little bit too far. So in other words, at the speed of light at the equator, you would have to circle the Earth 7.5 times a second to be going at the speed of light. So I get my finger up here. Let's just say we got the Earth here. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You would be circling at the equator. That would be how fast you'd be going around the Earth at the speed of light. All right. I've had some fun with this, by the way, putting this all together. Well, okay. The speed of light is 670 million miles an hour. That's what the speed of light is. Okay. In Betelgeuse, comparing the size of Earth to Betelgeuse. Now, if Earth is the size of a golf ball, the diameter of Betelgeuse would be the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. Okay, so here we've got the sun and the Earth's orbit around the sun. Okay, it would be twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun would be the diameter of Betelgeuse. Huge, okay. If the Earth's the size of a golf ball, to get the diameter of Betelgeuse, it'd be six times the height of the Empire State Building. The Empire State Building is 1,250 feet tall. That means the diameter of Betelgeuse would be 7,500 feet. That's about a mile and a quarter. And so to compare the size of Earth to Betelgeuse, you got your little golf ball here, it'd be a globe, a circle, a mile and a half in diameter. Comparison, okay? You could put 262 trillion Earths inside of Betelgeuse. That would fill the Superdome with golf balls 3,000 times. I mean, huge, huge. I mean, that's, okay. Another star is Musepe, spelled M-U-C-E-P-H-E-I, Musepe. And I know this is kind of gets mind-boggling, but Musepe is 3,000 light years away. 3,000 light years away. How big is God? Okay, 3,000 light years away. If Earth's the size of a golf ball, the diameter would be twice the length of the Golden Gate Bridge in California. It's 9,000 feet long. To bottom line it all, Musepe would be 3 1/3 miles in diameter, with Earth being the size of a golf ball. You could put 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside of, all right, this is getting, okay. Now, just to take a look at these numbers, we talk about millions and billions and trillions, and you know, it doesn't make any sense. But just a refresher course here, 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. 1,000 times 1,000,000 is 1,000,000,000. 1,000 times 1,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000,000, and 1,000 times 1,000,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000,000,000. Now, to try to put that in some kind of perspective, 1,000,000 seconds ago was 11.5 days ago. That's 1,000,000,000. I mean, that's, you know, that's 1,000,000,000. Okay, 1,000,000,000 seconds ago was 31.7 years ago. Is 1,000,000,000. These numbers, I mean, they get big so fast. And I'm headed here. I'm going to talk about our national debt just a little bit. It's in the trillions. That's why I'm using these things here. Anyway, but 1,000,000,000 seconds ago would be, right now would be November of 1992. That's 1,000,000,000 seconds a year. 1,000,000,000 seconds ago would be 29,700 BC. That is how vast these numbers, because you have 1,000 times the one ahead of it. You know, it's amazing. You know, one quadrillion seconds ago, it'd be 30,800,000 years ago. So, all right.
There is no such thing.
Yeah. Well, God was here back then. Okay. And folks, I guess the reason I brought that up is because, you know, we talked about a trillion. A trillion seconds ago was 29,700 B.C. Folks, our national debt today, I think, isn't it something like $34 trillion, our national debt? I mean, it keeps going up, 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 okay? So in other words, we would have to multiply 29,700 times 34. Can you see the sum of money our national debt is? And I don't understand how this stuff works. I know how it works for you and me. Folks, at the end of the month, we got to pay our bills. Or if we don't pay our bills, we're in trouble. You know, we're going to, you know, and I don't know, this, they just keep printing money, and these government, both sides, okay, both sides, they want to spend. We're getting into hock so deep right now, as I understand it, the only thing we can do now, we could just pay the interest on our loan. We cannot even touch the principal. And it keeps going up, up, up. And folks, I'm just saying, you know, this thing is not self-sustaining. One of these days, the bubble's going to break. One of these days, somebody's got to pay the piper. And I don't understand how they can keep... Anyway, that's just kind of getting off of creation or anything. But as long as I was talking about these big numbers, and I forget what it says, but the average... If you take the national debt, $34 trillion, and you divide that up among the number of the population of the people in the United States, you know, that for each person, I mean, I forget, does anybody know the number of how much that is per person? I mean, it's like, what's that? Right, I knew it was something like that. I didn't want to. So our national debt right now, for every single person, starting with babies on up to the old people, that we owe individually $386,000 on our national debt. Okay, all right, Jim, get back. I want you to be aware, folks. One of these days, the bubble's going to pop. You know, and the Lord, I think the Lord's coming quickly. I keep saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but I guess I'm just bringing these things up because a lot of times we don't understand. I don't know how this thing works. I don't know how we've been able to survive this long, and yet it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Someday, anyway, enough said, Jim. Okay, we got to look at one more star. And it was the largest star that we knew of back then, okay? And that is a star called Canis Majoris. And it was the largest star we know of so far. That was in 2014. I wrote that down here to let you know how dated this information is. If the Earth is the size of a golf ball, then the diameter of Canis Majoris would be the height of Mount Everest. And Mount Everest is 6 miles high. So Canis Majoris, the Earth's the size of a golf ball, its diameter would be 6 miles. And so I was thinking, you know, okay, what's like 6 miles from here? You know, that is Groveland. There's a little town of Groveland. I always come through it every time I come to McPherson, go right through Groveland. But the diameter of that star would be from here to Groveland. It would be the size. You know, we're talking about how big is God. We're talking about one star now, folks. Bear in mind, there is trillions of stars. How big is God, okay? You could put 7 quadrillion Earths inside of it. That would cover the entire state of Texas with golf balls 22 inches deep. Now find yourself. Okay. God is big is what I'm trying to say. Yes, sir.
Are those four stars four of the closer ones? Do you happen to know?
I don't know that. I'm following one of these DVDs, and it's the four stars. They picked it, so I copied it. I don't know, John.
I'm thinking that they're some of the closer ones are maybe the closest four. I'm not sure.
I don't necessarily. I think they just picked those four out. I don't know. That's the only way I can answer your question. I don't know.
If you travel in space and go millions and billions and trillions, hundreds of trillions of miles, do you finally run into a wall? Or is it infinite?
Okay. I'm going to let you guys answer his question, okay? What's on out there a million times further than what we've been able to see?
God. There's no wall.
I don't think there's a wall. Okay. I really believe God is infinite. I think it just keeps going on. There's probably stars that are make Canis Majoris look like a pebble. You know, I mean, I don't, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Okay, time is up. Just getting ready to switch authors. Well, it's time to quit. Yes, sir. Can I bring the mic back? I got my new ears, by the way, but I turn them up and then I turn them down and then I can't find a button to turn them back up. So I'm about to give it the wrong guy. You want it?
No. No, Jamal was just saying that when the Lord is on the cross, he made one statement. He said, in my house are many mansions, so I just go by. When I go home, I'll say, Lord, you're right. So yeah. Who cares how far I go? To just say Christ said, in his Father's house are many mansions.
Yeah. You looking forward to getting in your mansion? Man, I am too. Bring it on. Anybody else? Time is up. She raised a drink up, and I was getting ready to hand you the mic. Okay, folks, our time is up. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for displaying your eternal power and Godhead. We can open our eyes and see it. And Lord, we've got telescopes and we got stuff and we got microscopes. We can look, Lord, at all areas of your creation. And Lord, it all points to your magnificence. Lord, your awesome greatness. Father, I just thank you that you have displayed this and showed us your eternal power and glory and Godhead. And Lord, your power and your design, your intelligence. And Father, and yet you are that big, and yet you love us individually. And you made a way, Lord, that we can spend eternity in heaven with you. And we are so thankful for that. So Father, help us to understand what's out there. Help us, Lord, to be a witness to your greatness. And to, Lord, just help us to be witnesses of you. And Father, I just pray that you'll be with Pastor this morning. Open our hearts, Lord, for the message you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.